This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson.
Hello. Was there no commercial today, Maria?
You know what, Corrine? I guess there wasn't. God just wanted you to go right into it. I didn't expect that to happen, but whoa.
No worries. That's great. Okay, well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Healing Through Prayer. Today's topic is on liberty, and I'd like to start out today by reading from the book of Acts. This is chapter 16, starting at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every one's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Was this a miracle for Paul and Silas alone? Or was this a demonstration of divine law working on their behalf? Wasn't it Paul that declared that the law of life in Christ Jesus made him free from the law of sin and death? A law, a divine decree by God that has infinite power in which to enforce it, was at work in the minds of Paul and Silas and operated to open the prison doors in the middle of the night, shackled in chains in a prison cell, imprisoned due to false accusation. Instead of bemoaning their pitiful situation, they prayed and sang praises to God, right where we would be tempted to argue and defend ourselves, to point our fingers and be self-righteous. Paul and Silas instead gave thanks and praised God. This could only be done with the clear understanding and positive assurance that God is all-loving, is faithful, and would deliver them. Their faith did not waver. They knew about and relied solely upon God's nature as loving, merciful, just, and all-powerful. The mortal picture did not sway them or cause them to lose faith. They stood on the rock, held fast despite the bleak mortal picture, and they were delivered. Well, if there was a law in operation then, this same law exists today and is still very much in operation. All we have to do is align our thoughts with this law to see it operate on our behalf. What area of your life do you feel imprisoned in? Is it a physical ailment, sickness, scarcity, debt, addiction? We all face some area in life that we have on some level accepted as just something that is, that we must deal with because we've tried and perhaps failed to overcome it. We've been tricked into believing we are powerless and therefore servants to the situation. This ploy of mortal mind to keep us enslaved and helpless is as old as time. Remember the woman who was bowed together for 18 years and in no wise could lift herself up? Can you imagine always having to stare at the ground, or you'd have to lay down simply in order to see the sky? Not only the physical aspect of that nightmare, but the emotional toil that it took on the woman. Those who knew her undoubtedly identified her condition as her. They all accepted it as just the way it was, or perhaps they believed she deserved it or was being punished by God. She was imprisoned. But we read in Luke 13, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Immediately she was made straight. And at Mark 5:25, we read, and a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. What about the man, the lame man that was placed daily at the gate called Beautiful, who was lifted up? His feet and ankle bones were restored instantaneously. Or the woman who thought she needed to kill herself and her son due to lack, but was saved when Elisha instructed her to sell pots of oil. The Bible gives us testimony after testimony of those who believed their situation was hopeless and how they received complete deliverance from their chains in whatever form they took. They were liberated. At the core of every demonstration of healing is the revealing of a fundamental fact of our being. It is a part of your spiritual DNA given to you with sovereignty by God Almighty when He created you. And that element of your being, the law that Paul and Silas understood, is liberty. What a beautiful word that is. What do you first think of when you hear that word? Freedom, perhaps? I always like to look up definitions as it brings more clarity around a certain concept. Liberty has been defined as the state of being free, freedom from captivity, confinement, or physical restraint, freedom from arbitrary or despotic control, the positive enjoyment of various social, political, or economic rights and privileges. I also studied synonyms for the term liberty, and I loved what I found. Just listen to these and let them seep in. They're birthright, decision, deliverance, emancipation, enlightenment, exemption, immunity, independence, liberation, privilege, release, self-government, unconstraint, carte blanche, sovereignty. These are yours by virtue of your existence. This spiritual Bill of Rights is yours. Jesus knew this fact. He recognized it and celebrated it in every person that his thought rested upon. He proved that liberty is a part of our true identity, and he demonstrated it over and over again. This liberty is within us. It is a law of God in full operation, and it is ours for the proving. How do we do this? Let's look to the Bible. One of my favorite scriptures is, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And where is the Spirit of the Lord? Everywhere. God is omnipresent, all in all. He fills all space and time. He is Alpha and Omega, first and the last. We live and move and have our being in him. We cannot ever find a place where we are outside of his all presence. So God being all in all, where is liberty? Everywhere. This freedom, this independence, our exemption from man's so-called laws, our God-given dominion and immunity from material conditions is everywhere that spirit is. So right where the fearful picture is in your thinking, let's take scarcity for example. You're looking at a bill, and you look at your checkbook, and you can't see any way you're going to pay your obligation, and fear creeps in. Stop right there. At that moment, I want you to recall, one, you are the spiritual child of God, and as such, you reflect God and all that he is. Two, that liberty is your birthright, a guaranteed condition of your existence. Three, that this liberty fills all space. And then four, right at that crossroad of I have a bill to pay and I don't have enough money, I want you to apply and hold fast this truth. Your deliverance from the lie of scarcity is your birthright. You are exempt from society's laws of poor economy or lack of job. You have absolute freedom by virtue of your inheritance from God. Now the yeah buts are going to crop up immediately, but you need to silence those with the truth. It does not matter what the mortal picture looks like or how bleak things seem to be. Hold fast to the truth right in the face of what seems to be a total block or virtual impasse. Remember, what seems to be out there is actually human consciousness externalized. So while we may be tempted to try and fix the problem outside of ourselves by manipulating or controlling places, things, or people, the answer must come from a change in our thinking. An understanding of the law of liberty that is working on your behalf right now is all it takes to unloosen the hold of the dream of separation from God in any form that it tries to take. Wherever we seem to be locked up, we can apply this truth of liberty to the seeming problem and watch as this law of freedom unlocks, dissolves, moves, loosens, and frees us from the situation. Ideas will come to you for instruction, or the right contact you need to make will show up. Physical healing will result. Sources of supply will be open to you. Is there any area where this law cannot work? No, because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The greatest lie of mortal mind is the so-called law of death. It argues that even if we can overcome the smaller obstacles in life, well, we certainly can't overcome the grave. But we know and give thanks that this, too, is a false dream. In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, she writes, "His disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulcher, whereas he was alive, demonstrating within the narrow tomb the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense. There were rock-ribbed walls in the way, and a great stone must be rolled from the cave's mouth. But Jesus vanquished every material obstacle, overcame every law of matter, and stepped forth from his gloomy resting place, crowned with the glory of sublime success and everlasting victory. In a book entitled Miscellany, she wrote, "The Great Way Shower illustrated life unconfined, uncontaminated, untrammeled by matter. He proved the superiority of mind over the flesh, opened the door to the captive, and enabled man to demonstrate the law of life, which St. Paul declares hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Jesus proved our dominion over every form of lack, sickness, sin, and death. It didn't matter what the earthly form depicted. Jesus was never impressed by it. He saw right through it. He recognized and affirmed the present truth in the situation. Where the picture displayed lack, he demonstrated abundance. Where there was lack of physical sense, he restored sight and speech. Where there was a claim of disease, he restored the real man to wholeness and perfection. Where life said the laws of gravity were supreme, he demonstrated dominion over gravity and time and space. Where death attempted to invoke itself, Jesus resurrected and ascended, completely free from the so-called laws of death. He paid them no heed. He was not impressed. He was not fearful because he knew their ultimate unreality. If God is all good and God is the only power, he could confidently proclaim and demonstrate that anything not good was not real and actual, but merely a hypnotic illusion in human belief. And that is all there is to any seeming imprisonment that we may be experiencing. It is nothing attempting to assert itself as something. But we know that when we refuse to give our attention and power over to the frightening scenario, and instead keep our mental focus on the law of liberty that God assures to us, we see the imaginary walls break apart and fall away. We watch with great delight and gratitude as we are delivered from our own personal Red Sea, as the waves are divided and a way is opened up for us to cross on dry ground, away from our would-be enemies. Like Paul, this same law of life given to us by Christ Jesus has made us free from the so-called laws of sin and death. We are free. Free to cash in on this law of liberty, freedom, independence, dominion, birthright, immunity, and deliverance from every form of sin, sickness, enslavement, and death. Examine your thought in any area where you feel captive or victim. Find the stronghold in your thought. What is it saying to you? Right there is the lie. And right there, right where a talking serpent seems to be laughing and sentencing you to a life in bondage, is the law of God working, fully powered and fully operational, governing you and declaring your freedom and independence. As his child, you are free. Liberty is yours now. I don't care about the yeah buts. I don't care how bleak the picture seems to be. Paul and Silas would never have been delivered if they had been more impressed by the thickness of the walls and heaviness of the shackles. Pay no heed to the material so-called evidence. Right where you are is the Spirit of the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, there is no good in talking to you each week if we're not putting into practice what we're discussing. We must demonstrate these laws of God if we are to make a difference. Were those demonstrations for those who lived 2,000 years ago only? Jesus taught his disciples and instructed them to go into the world and preach the gospel, to heal the sick and raise the dead. He showed them the way and expected them and all future disciples to go and do likewise. We are those modern-day disciples. There is a call for our prayers right now. Only weeks ago, approximately 200 Nigerian girls, all teenagers, were taken from their school. The aggressor's stated objective is to sell these young girls and women into slavery. There's been an enormous outcry for their return. And we know from the media that the United States has offered military and intelligence support. Now is the time for us to prove what the power of God can do and is doing for mankind. This show is not simply encouraging words to tune into on occasion, but a classroom in which we can remove all mental blocks from our direct knowing and relationship with God. We can pray over this situation, and this prayer is more effective than any drone, military operation, monetary reward, or man-powered remedy. We can pray and give a mental treatment over this entire situation. We start out by affirming that God is love, and therefore God is all good. This loving, good God created everything that was made. Therefore, all that God created reflects Him and His qualities. This must mean that God's creation is also good and loving. Take a moment to ponder this for a moment. An all-powerful, ever-present, loving God filling all space, the only creator, creating everything in His image and likeness, all good, powerful, all loving. And since God is omnipotent, all-powerful, there can be in reality no opposing power. Nothing can oppose omnipotence. There is in reality no place that an opposing force can exist or that anything unlike God can start from. Where in the allness of love does hatred stem from? If God is the only creator, then where does an opposing or bad creation seem to come from? The answer is that the only place that God's seeming opposite tries to exist is in human consciousness. It is only a mesmeric suggestion by mortal mind, which is what we refer to as a false belief of intelligence in matter, and the only seeming power it has is the life you give it by believing in it. If you believe in it, if it is real to you, you will experience it. There is a remedy, however, and it is the truth. Seeing the truth in place of a false belief destroys both the false belief as well as its seeming evidence in your experience. Jesus never healed a real withered hand. He destroyed the lie that real man of God's creating can be withered. Paul did not raise an actual dead girl. He destroyed the lie that the life of the real man is ever born into or dies out of matter. You see? The so-called problem is never a real condition, but it is a lie that we have accepted about ourselves and others, and therefore manifests itself in our human experience. Destroy the false belief, and you have destroyed its effects. Harmony is the established fact and is all that remains. So, perfect God created perfect man. And with this perfect man comes all the power, holiness, intelligence, life, love, truth, beauty, and wisdom that God is. Each of us is the whole embodiment of God. I love the poet Rumi. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he said that we are not just a drop in the ocean, but we are each the entire ocean in one drop. So we start from this fact of perfection creating perfection. We know that any sense of discord or inharmony is only a lie working mesmerically in belief, and that its only hope of survival is in our acceptance of the belief. We know, too, that the truth is sharper than any two-edged sword, that the truth is what sets us free from these false beliefs, that the power of the truth is what heals, restores, and corrects any seeming discordant condition. So we must apply the truth to this horrific picture of kidnap and enslavement. Well, let's apply what we've discussed today. Right where we read about and visualize these young women being taken against their will and sold into slavery, right there, right in the face of the bleak news report that the girls will be hard to find or that it's too late, we must affirm and know that this same law of liberty that freed Paul and Silas from the rock prison, iron shackles, and false accusers, that same law of freedom from captivity is fully operational and powerfully asserting itself over this entire situation. God's love is governing its creation harmoniously and is gently caring for and supporting each one of those girls. Each precious child is immune from evil's target. They, like Jesus, can walk unscathed and unaffected through the midst of this seeming string of events because they are governed by the law of independence, exempt from harm or evil, and are being guided and directed by God alone. This law is supporting not only these girls, but is also asserting itself over the captors. These men are not slaves to mortal mind, evil, or despotic control. They, too, are only influenced by the one mind, God, infinite good. They are free from false hypnotic control. They are the innocent and pure children of God, and they know this. This law of liberty breaks the would-be shackles of poverty, the fight for control or power or money. Freedom and its infinite power covering the entire situation. Do you hear the objections in your mind? Are you tempted to scoff? Isn't that exactly what Jesus faced time and time again, even by his very own disciples, when he both affirmed and demonstrated the law of life and love over the false evidence of sin, sickness, and death? Shut out those offending voices. Jesus proved their nothingness, and they try to assert themselves now. Do not give audience to a dying fable, but stand firm in the truth that God gave to us. Now is not the time to stand in awe at the material picture and evidence, but to turn your gaze heavenward and to give thanks today that his work is done and is perfect. Yes, let us sing praises now that all God's children are precious and protected and loved, and that the law of liberty is functioning with omnipotence as its source. As we claim these truths, the false evidence of mortal mind must yield. When it ceases to exist in our consciousness, it ceases to exist in the worldly experience. Our declaration of independence from mortal mind is the most effective and most powerful means of defeating false claims against God's creation. Our treatment today is effective. It is the truth that casts out error. It is complete, and its work is done. Join me as we give great thanks to God and his always successful and always operational law of liberty. Amen.
healing4radio.com.